All right. Welcome, everybody. Are you ready for some healing school? Okay, we're allowed to make sounds in this room. Yes, okay, good. Praise the Lord, I got to tell you. Let's raise the dead, shall we? Make some noise. We're going to enjoy ourselves here today, praise God. All right, so let me open in prayer. Father, I just thank you for healing school. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we have, Lord, to open your word, to read your word, to believe your word, Lord Jesus, and to walk in the things that it says within its pages, Lord. Father, I thank you that the Bible was written just for me, Lord, that I can use it to guide my life, that I can know your character as I search you out, Lord, that I can know the promises that you promised me, Lord. And that when things are going the wrong way or array, and I don't know what's happening, I can settle myself down in your word, Lord. And Father, I thank you that we can trust it. We can rely upon it. For your word is truth, Lord. And I give you all the praise and all the glory for it. Father, I ask that you would open our hearts and minds, that we would be awake to what we read, Lord Jesus. That, Father, our ground would not be hard ground, but we would hear, Father, with a more subdued heart, with a more open heart, Lord Jesus, that it wouldn't be stony ground, Lord, that we hear just a little bit and then go run with it, but we can't bring it to fruition, Lord. And, Father, that we don't have weeds and thorns and briars in our ground, Lord Jesus, so that we don't be offended by your word, Lord. But Father, I ask that we would have good and noble ground, Lord. Our heart that's tilled, Lord. That's ready to receive good seed. That seed can grow and produce. And we can have a harvest and eat from that which we hear today, Father. That our lives would be transformed. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. God is so good. So let me ask you one question. Is the Bible true? It is true, isn't it? Does everything you read in it happen for you? Not for me. I mean, I'm still working some stuff out. There's some stuff it says in it that I'm still working out in my heart. But I'm working it out. Now, if you were here last week, we were talking about that God is our healer. How many of you were here last week? Good. So we were talking last week that God is our healer and that by us being in fellowship with him, we get healed. Not that he distributes healing to us, but being in fellowship with him is healing to us. Does that make sense? Okay. So when you're in a smoky room or in front of a campfire, you know, you can't help but smell like smoke if you're standing in the smoke, right? You can't help it. You walk away, you smell like smoke. When we get in the presence of God and we remain in the presence of God remains. Are you with me? And he does. And the more we're in the presence of God, the more his presence remains. So like Moses, as a short example, if you remember right, when Moses would get into the presence of God, he was there for 40 days in the presence of God. And for 40 days in the presence of God, no food, no water, just God. Wow. Day and night with God. In the presence of God, in the supernatural realm, in the realm that is beyond the natural way of living. And when he came down from that presence of being there so long, consistently, he glowed, he shined, because the presence of God was actually in his skin. It was actually on him. The presence, he carried it out, because like being in a campfire, when you walk away, you still smell like smoke. He still had that glory on him. But now you and I, according to 2 Corinthians, We have that glory in us by the Spirit of God. So if you're born again and you have the Spirit of God in you, that same glory that caused Moses to light up on the outside is on the inside of us. Now Moses, when it was on the outside of him, it would start diminishing after a while because he was down around the people. And all the way that they thought and the way that they acted and their bickering and their unbelief, and they were around all that, and that presence diminished. And so he put a veil over his face. But then when he'd go back into the presence of God in the tent of meetings, he'd take the veil off and his skin would start shining again. Then he'd go back out and get around all the people again. Then as it started diminishing and he went back into the tent, took the veil back off again, started shining again. That's exciting. So that was on the outside of his skin. But you and I have it on the inside. But sometimes when we go out into the world and we do our day and we do our job, the presence of God can diminish from us because we have our attention so much in other things. Okay? Remember, if you were here last week, I read in Deuteronomy, I think it was in chapter 30, is that as long as our attention is with him, so that we will hear him. If we take our attention off of him, we don't hear so clearly or even at all sometimes. And so we have to keep our attention on the Lord and our presence in his presence, going into our secret place or a closet or a room and spending time with God, fellowshipping with God. In that, we become healed, whole, prosperous. Our thoughts start aligning with him by being in his presence, and our mind is renewed by that fellowship with him. But we have to get to where we're actually with him and not just by ourselves talking into the air somewhere, closing our eyes, sitting in darkness in our own mind, and then just talking into the atmosphere or into the room. We have to actually connect with him by faith. And if you're one of those persons who do not connect with him by faith, you're not actually there in a two-way dialogue, then that's your first step, that you need to start focusing your attention on that part right there and get that first step secured, that when you ask God a question, he answers you. You got to get that part down. Or else, if you ask him something, how will you know if he said yes or no? How will you know? So we've got to get our relationship at least at the place to where we hear his voice and we know back and forth. You know, I'm just thinking right now of an example that how many of you would say that God knows you exist? You know, we'd raise our hands and say, God knows I exist. Okay, well, let's bring it down a little better. How come in the Bible in Matthew chapter 7, he says, I never knew you? To people that were doing miracles, to people that were casting out demons, people who were prophesying, and he said, I never knew you. Get away from me. They're not going into the kingdom of heaven, and that's in Matthew chapter 7. So, how can he say that to people that are actually doing signs and wonders and miracles? How can he say, I never knew you? That's a tough saying. That really wonders. So let me ask you this. How many people know our president is Donald Trump? So do we know the president? We've seen him, right? We've seen him on TV. We've heard things. So we know our president, right? You know who he is. So does he know who you are? Does your president know you? But you're a citizen of the United States. Are you an American? Absolutely, you're an American. But until you build a relationship with him some way, somehow, there isn't really a real relationship there. You're just a recipient that all Americans get, but not relationally. So, now I want to make a point that President Donald Trump is only one person, so he's not omniscient, nor is he omnipresent, okay? He's not. He doesn't know all things, and he's not everywhere at one time, but our Heavenly Father is. Amen? He really, really is. So it says in James, it says in James that if we draw near to him, what will he do? Is that a promise? So if we draw near to him, how do we draw near to God? How would you and I draw near to God? Not talk at the air, believing in his omniscience, that he absolutely just knows all things, so he knows I'm talking. How do I actually draw near to God? How do you actually, when you need God, when you really need some answers and some solutions in your life, how do you draw near to God? You have your way. Some of us go and pray. Some of us focus. Because all of a sudden, now I actually need an answer here. It can't just be arbitrary words that I speak. I actually need a real answer. And as a kind of soberness and a seriousness comes over us when it's actually important. And that's when we start pressing in and start actually going, okay, so what are we doing then? We are honing our attention. We are pushing away the things that are around us. We are maybe turning off our phone, putting our pets in another room. Maybe we are not answering the door. We're going into a room where we don't have to answer the doorbell or the door. Maybe we are turning off the radio and the television. We're getting away from other people. Some of us go and get in our cars, you know, because that's the only escape we have from other people and things. But when we really, really, really need an answer, we tune out a lot of other things, don't we? That's drawing near to God. That's setting your heart to get before him. Some of us will sing and worship. Some of us will pray in tongues. Some of us will do all those things. But that's us inclining our hearts to him and drawing near to him. And then what did he promise he would do if we did that? He would draw near to us. That's a promise that we have. So let's talk about this. If we actually apply ourselves to get into the presence of God, we can count on the fact that he will draw near to us also, and that we will make that communion so that we can ask something of him and we'll know that he hears us. And we can have our request that we make known, right? We agree with that? Good. So what happens when I draw near to him and he draws near to me according to James? Should we put that up just so that you know? It's James chapter 4. Let me just go there. Might be 7. Let me just look. I should probably give you the scripture. And like always, we haven't even got to the verses that I gave to Bruce yet. So we'll get there though, hopefully. James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Let's go all the way to 10, 7 to 10. Those are all good verses. Are you with me? Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Boy, I love this. This is like right in my Psalms chapter 24. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I love this, purify your hearts, you double-minded, which means we are getting intent on the fact that we are pressing into God and going to get an answer from him for whatever we're believing him for. Right? We can't vacillate back and forth because James already told us in chapter 1 that if we vacillate back and forth, we don't receive anything from God. We can't be double-minded. We got to go knowing that if I draw near to him, he'll draw near to me. Okay? And I've cleansed my hands. I'm not doing any sins that I know of. And I'm believing God. I'm single-minded. Lament and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. That lifting up right there is not and he will make you feel better inside. That's not what that lifting up is. That is to exalt you, to bring you up to him. He will bring you up to him. It's like a dad picking up a child and carrying it in its arms. He will exalt, he will lift you up to him. He will bring you to him if you remove the double-mindedness and come into his presence for the purpose of being in fellowship with God. He promises that. Okay? And in that is healing. In that is wholeness. In that is prosperity. And I'll even go further and say, in that is wisdom. Because we get into the presence of God, and the Bible says that when we see him, when Jesus returns, when we see him, we will be like him. That's exciting. I have a hard time with that sometimes. But if I see Jesus, I be like Jesus. Just like in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says that when the blinders are taken off of me, when I come into the presence of the Lord, I am changed into his same image by his Spirit. I'm transformed into that same image as him. Moses, when he went into the presence of God, the same glory and life of God got onto his skin, and then he took that out. Okay? So there's this transformation that takes place in the presence of God. Okay, that's recap with a little elaboration from last week. That's exciting to me. That's really exciting to me. If we will do it. If we will do it. Now, I want to let you know that, how do I say it the right way? Do you know that Jesus would be healing people all day long? Millions, hundreds, well, I don't know how many were there, hundreds, thousands, we'll say. Everyone that came to him, he would heal them. That's exhausting. Everyone that came, he gave them his attention. Even blind Bartimaeus, remember him? Blind Bartimaeus was hollering out, Jesus, Jesus. And he was calling out to him, and everybody's saying, stop it, stop it. And he yelled all the more because it was important to him to get what he was coming to Jesus for, because he knew if he can get to Jesus' attention, he would get healed. Just like when you know that when God hears you, you will get whatever you're asking of him. That sounds like a verse, doesn't it? What verse is that? Let's go there. I think that's going to be 1 John. Nope, I think it's going to be, yeah, 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14 and 15. Ready? Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Okay. That's pretty exciting too. So in other words, when we come into the presence of God and we know that he hears us, just like blind Bartimaeus knew that Jesus heard him and he healed him. And Bartimaeus, you know what he did? He threw down his beggar's robes, left them on the dirt, because he knew that if he could get into the presence of God, he would get his healing, right? If he could get into the presence of Jesus, who's healing everybody, then he would get his healing. He knew it. He knew he would get it. That's why he was hollering and hollering and hollering. And then when he found out they called, he says, the master's called you. He threw down his robe and went, and what did he get? He got his healing. So, coming into the presence of God heals you. He is willing to do that in your body, in his presence. And when you're in dialogue with him, if there's anything in the way, He can tell you what it is that you can move it out of the way. But if we don't go to him without having a double mind, if we don't go to him single-minded that I'm going to get this from God. It's not, will God give it to me? I'm going to get this from God. So how do I get it from God? Right? How many of you ever asked for anything from God and did not get it? So does that mean he withheld it from me and you? He what? She says he gave her what was best. So you think that he still gave you, but he didn't answer your prayer. He didn't answer it the way she wanted it to be answered, she says. So here's my thing. All right? We might change channels a little bit here. There are some things that I pray for, and I get it every single time. And I'm so confident of it, I can tell you, come over here and get out your phone. You can watch this happening before your very eyes. And it does. Every time. There are other things that I pray for, and I get 50-50 results. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. And I don't know what the trigger is that makes one work for one, and the other one doesn't get it. But I know it's true. It happens. And I got some things I pray for, and I have never had it work for me yet. Work for me yet, if that's even the right way to say it. I've not seen what I've prayed for happening at all. What's the variable? Is it God? If it's God's will that all men be sozo, that's being saved. If it's God's will that all of us are saved, then which means healed, which means made whole again, which means preserved so that we're sealed and saved the same. So if it's God's will that all men be that, healed and whole, and Jesus manifested the will of God, healing everyone that came to him, except for the places where there was so much unbelief that he could do no mighty works, because the unbelief was actually hindering the miraculous power of God from operating. So I have to look in my heart and say that the variable is not God. The variable is my belief systems, what I believe in my heart. So, boy, I'm telling you, sorry, Bruce, none of those verses we might get to today. So here's my, let's just go real since we're just going to be real here. Maybe like me, some of you have been disappointed in some areas of your life. Maybe like me, some of you have been wounded in some areas, and it's really hard to believe that God will give me anything I ask for. That by me saying, the Bible says in Mark 11:23 that whatsoever thing you say, believing in your heart, you have it. So it's a matter of me believing in my heart that I can have it. And I got to tell you, there are things that I've prayed for in faith, and I didn't get it. It didn't work. It didn't happen. And why not? Because I also had unbelief in my heart at the same time. So even though I can come into God's presence, even though I can get into his presence back and forth, sometimes it's hard for me to even accept that God will heal me in those circumstances. I still find myself, and I'm just being honest, kind of begging almost. That's not quite the right word, pleading, those kinds of things, because I'm not seeing the results right away. And God's been ministering to me that it is not him withholding anything. It's my heart and my belief system is defying the miracle working power of the Holy Spirit. It's defying, my own heart is insisting that something else is more real than what God has given me. And in those areas, I don't get results like I could. I don't. And so what do I need to do in those areas? So here, I like to do experiments, just to let you guys know. I love doing experiments. Maybe you'd like to try an experiment. So here's an experiment. Pick something. I don't care what it is. Pick something that is not in your material world right now and go after it. Go after it. Let me just back up a little bit and give you a little. How do I do this? Jesus, you might have these verses up there, Bruce. Jesus said that all power and all authority has been given to me, right? That's exousia, that's authority, okay, power. And he says, therefore, in my name, go, right? So he said, and that's in Matthew 28, Bruce. So he said, I think it starts in verse 14 there. There it is. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Look at this next verse. Teaching them, observing all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you most of the time. It says always, even to the ends of the age. Go to Mark 16. So in Mark 16, we're looking right at this minute at delegated authority. In Mark 16, at the end, it says, go to verse 15. Let's just go past all this. And he said to them, this is Jesus talking to the disciples just before he goes up into heaven. He says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All right? Maybe some of us don't want to do that. I'm not going to put that on you. Maybe we believe that evangelists go do that. Or the pastor's supposed to go do that. But we might not think that we have to do that. So let's just pass that one right on by and go to verse 16. And he who believes, after they've heard the gospel, it says, and he who believes. Okay, let's stop right there. We're going to qualify what a believer is. Okay, so let's just look and see what he says a believer is. This is Jesus as he's ascending. So if you're a believer, then these things are going to be in your life. He who believes and is baptized will be sozo, will be saved, made whole, preserved, delivered of demonic stuff, delivered. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Stop, don't change it, Bruce. So that means that if we don't believe Jesus, then we'll walk around with condemnation in us. We'll feel unworthy. We'll feel like it's not going to happen for us, like we don't deserve it. We will have a feeling in us like, well, maybe God will do it for them, but I don't know if he'll do it for me. We will disqualify ourselves because we don't actually believe yet in this arena. So let's go on to 17. Let's find out what it says. And these signs will follow those who believe. So if you believe Jesus, if you really believe him, these signs will follow you and I. In my name, stop. It doesn't say you're going to do this on your own. It says, in his name. What does that mean, in his name? In the, that's right. She says, in the name of Jesus, that's with the authority of Jesus. That's right. So in other words, when we believe that Jesus has been given all authority and all power, and that we need to tell people, and when they believe, then in his name, by his authority and power, that's transferred to them. Okay? By the authority and power that's been given to Jesus is transferred to them now because they believe. So believing has mixed in with it, that you believe the authority of Jesus has been given to you. Some of us need to stop right there. And we need to go into our prayer closet, and we need to maybe fast, maybe pray in tongues, maybe kind of read a few more verses and meditate on them and muse over them. Maybe we need to just kind of ponder some stuff and take it to God and talk to Him. Because some of us might not even believe that we've been delegated Jesus' authority. That means that if Jesus was saying it, then when you say it, it has just as much weight as when Jesus says it. Not because you're saying it for yourself. You're going, in His name and saying these things because this is what Jesus is saying in this circumstance. And these signs will follow those who believe. In My name, they will. So in other words, in the name of Jesus, by the authority invested in Jesus Christ, and then invested in you and I, we will go forth in the same authority that Jesus had. Now I want to let you know, that comes by the Spirit of God. That doesn't come because you're just strong-arming somebody. Okay? The power comes from the Holy Spirit. You guys know that? So I'm not going to stay there. So then, because some people can say that the being baptized part that we read is in water. Okay? When I look at these things, I would kind of think that this being baptized might mean in the Holy Spirit. Because the things that are going to follow, you kind of need to be in the Holy Spirit for these things to operate, in my opinion. Now, if you can do these things, or a person can do these things without being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's confusing to me, and I'll just say that. Okay, so let's go on and see what this is. So if we believe and are baptized in the Holy Spirit is what I'm going to say. Okay, now I'm not trying to go against anybody else's doctrine. It's just the way I read this, that's kind of how it makes sense to me. There's many, many scholars that say it's water, and I am not going to say they're wrong. I'm just saying it kind of looks this way to me. And these signs will follow those who believe. In My name, they will cast out demons. Okay, so if we believe that the authority of Jesus has been given to us, then we will cast out demons when we recognize them. And they will speak with new tongues. So that part right there really strongly suggests that you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit for that to happen. According to the way a lot of people are raised in the church, according to what I read in the Bible. So that's why I can easily say that this baptism is probably, you believe Jesus and are baptized by the Spirit. Going on to verse 18. They will take up serpents. I'm not going to go there because the church doesn't really even deal with that area. And the only example that we've had has been craziness, where people are handling snakes, you know. And so I am ignorant of that. I don't have any experience with that. I know that Paul got bitten by a serpent and he shook it off. And a lot of people got born again and healed and came to God because of the miracle that happened in that situation. So maybe that's what he's talking about. I don't know. I don't really have any experience in that. And if they drink anything deadly, they will by no means, it will by no means hurt them. I mean, that could probably be anything from sour milk, you know, to somebody poisoning your wine or your food. You know, arsenic and old lace, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't have any experience with that either. But it kind of sounds to me like that if you ingest anything, it's not going to hurt you. You can eat just about anything or drink anything and you're fine. They will lay hands on the sick. We love this verse. And they will recover. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We love that verse, don't we? Does any of this say, if you're a good person? Does any of this say that if you haven't done anything wrong? Does any of this say that if you have a college degree or went to seminary? Does any of this say that if you've been ordained by the pastor? It says that anyone who believes and is baptized, these things will follow them. So then, if it's not happening in our life, could unbelief be in the way? Unbelief could actually be in the way. So how do we overrule this unbelief? Oh, I gave it away just in what I said. Oh, I gave the answer away with just the way I said it. Faith, yes. And how? What else? Drawing near. But how about this one? Overruling unbelief. You ever tried to do that? You ever tried to overrule, tell no to yourself? When yourself wants to start fretting, you ever told yourself, no, I am not going to fret. I am not going to give in to this. You ever done that? You ever been in a situation? I've done it. Where I've been in a situation and I am going to go forward in this situation. And my body has a mind of its own. And it's amazing. I'm just being transparent. I hope this isn't disgusting to anybody. But I'm getting ready to go do something by faith. And all of a sudden, I got to go to the bathroom really bad. Because I am nervous. Oh, am I nervous right now? And all of a sudden, I got to go to the bathroom. So then I take care of that business and I'm back out there still getting ready to go. I'm getting ready to go. And then you know what happens next? I don't know what it is, but this leg right here, it starts doing this. I don't know what it is. It just starts wiggling all on its own. It just starts wiggling. I'm going, what the heck is that? My body has a mind of its own right now. My body is saying, no, 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 no. This isn't safe. This isn't safe. This isn't good. This isn't good. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. But guess what? I have to overrule that. I have to decide I'm going to go forward anyway. And I do. When I do, I'm so thankful that I did, because the thing that was trying to stop me moved out of the way when I actually was determined I'm going to get certain results. You can be the same way. So we sometimes, not always, but we sometimes have to deny ourselves what it thinks and what it wants to do and go after it. I can remember one time just recently, last year actually, that I was in my office and I was not feeling well. It was before this pandemic and everything was going on. And I did not feel well at all. I felt like the flu, man. It was like I was cold, but I was sweating. And my nose was starting to do, my stomach was flip-flopping on me. And I'm sitting in my office and I go, sickness, get out of my body now in Jesus' name. And it didn't go. Can you believe that? I said, sickness, get out of my body right now in the name of Jesus. And it didn't go. So then what do I do? Do I say, oh, I guess it doesn't work? No, you know what I did? I got into the presence of God. I started getting into the presence of God. I started worshiping the Lord. I started talking to the Lord. I go, Lord, what's going on here? Why is my body doing this? Why didn't it go when I told it to go? And he says, tell it again. Oh, I just heard God talk to me all of a sudden. I just heard him talk to me. So now I've got confidence because I just heard him tell me, tell it again. So then I said, sickness, get out of my body right now in the name of Jesus. And I felt a little wave, just a little wave. But my stomach was still flip-flopping like I was going to show everything that I ate. And I'm going, what's going on here? What's going on here? So I get in the presence of God some more. And I start worshiping God. I go, Lord, my stomach is still flip-flopping. And he says, talk to it and tell it to stop. So then I go, stomach, calm down right now in the name of Jesus. Calm down. And slowly but surely, I could feel it subsiding and feeling better. Then I told the fever to go, and the fever left me. And then I was totally fine. But you know how long that took? It took like 2 hours. 2 hours. Okay, so here's my thing that I want to share with you guys. Just because I've been given authority doesn't mean that I know how to use the authority that's been given to me. I don't know how to actually be the authority in that circumstance. I know how to say the words. I can find the verse in the Bible, but I don't know how to actually be the authority that God has given me over that problem. And I have to practice being authoritative, not angry, not yelling for the sake of yelling, to actually own the authority that's been delegated to me. That only comes by practice. It only comes by exercising the authority. It only comes by implementing what's been given to me. So, coming back down to experiments, what I love. Pick something. If it's money, if it's pain in your body you want gone, if it's you want to change the weather, if you want somebody to call you that hasn't called you, you want a text message from somebody, I don't care what. I would suggest picking something that your brain doesn't say is impossible. Picking something that is possible, but it's not probable. And make it happen using the authority that God has given you. Don't pick something that the devil can say, well, God would never let you do that. Don't pick one of those things. Pick something that you know God says yes about, that it's not that big a deal, so that you can be successful. But the thing is to practice it. Practice being authority. So Jesus gave his disciples some authority on the earth. And the authority that he gave to them, they had to go out and exercise that authority. They had to actually go. So if you'll turn with me in your Bible, let me go this way. Let me say that. Let me do this one first. Go to Matthew, Bruce. Did I give you Matthew 21, 23? If not, we'll go there. So let me just tell you this before we go to the disciples. Matthew 1, 21, 23. Jesus is healing people, right? And he's walking around and he's healing people. And the Pharisees, or the Sadducees, one of those groups, now, when he had come into the temple, the chief priest, that's who it was, the chief priest, and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching. And they said, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this? Authority. Who gave you this authority? It took him a second to get to the end of the verse. I'm not just pausing for the sake of pausing, guys. Okay. And who gave you this authority? So let's pause and let's think a minute. When you do things, when you are standing against sickness or believing God for money or healing or a miracle, whatever, by whose authority are you actually operating in? Is it from the earth? A person standing on the earth? Is that what you are? Yourself? You're standing there in your own name trying to get these things done. Listen, don't answer. I want you to think about how you actually operate in your day. It's not difficult at all to think that we operate in our own name when we try to stand against some things, when we try to get some results. See, sometimes we think that it's God withholding what we want from us, and it's not. It's the devil or his dominion, the spirit of this age, of this world, or our own flesh. All three of those are against us. And sometimes if we don't understand that there are foes that absolutely do not want us to walk in the authority that God has given us. And so sometimes in our own power, in our own intellect, in our own intestinal fortitude, by getting a Bible verse to back us up, we're coming against this thing in our own name. And we don't even realize we're doing that. So by what authority do you do the thing or desire the thing to happen? Jesus went on to say to these guys, John, by what authority did John come and do what he was doing? Was it from God? Was John the Baptist called by God? Or was it men that just decided to do this? And they didn't want to answer, because if they said men, then the people would stone him, because the people says John was from God. But if they said from God, then Jesus is going to say, why didn't you listen to him? And so they said, well, we're not going to answer you. So Jesus said, then I'm not going to answer you either. Because if you won't commit to one or the other, then I'm not going to tell you by what authority I do these things. But you need to commit. When you're standing, believing in faith, are you standing in your own authority of a man or a woman, or are you standing in the authority of Jesus himself? Because if you believe, we go in the name of Jesus. By Jesus' authority, we do these things. But we have to actually recognize that this authority has been given to us. Otherwise, when the thing resists you, if you don't believe you have the authority to make it go, given to you, delegated by Jesus, then you won't continue. You won't stay after it. You'll let it win. You'll make it feel like it's maybe stronger or bigger than you are. So get an exercise. Pick something and make it obey you, so that you can practice walking in authority. Jesus took his what are those guys called? Disciples. And he gave them authority. So, Bruce, you want to pull that verse up? He gave them authority on the earth. I think it's in Mark, Mark 6, 7. You guys know this, right? He sent out the 12. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them. I love that. He commanded them. We don't command very much anymore these days because it's rude. But he commanded them. When you're commanded to do something, your choice has just been removed. Your choice has been removed. A commanding officer is an officer that tells you what to do. You don't get to tell him what to do. He commands you. Okay? He's over you. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except staffs. No bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. In other words, listen, guys, I'm sending you out. Don't take any provision at all. Just go for it. Just go for it. And he also said, in whatever place you enter that house, stay till you depart from that place, and whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Verse 12. So they went out and preached that people should repent. I love this verse 13. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. That's exciting. He didn't say, go into your upper room and pray for them to be healed. He didn't do that. He didn't say, kneel down beside your bed and pray for them to be healed. He didn't do that. You know what he did instead? He made them go out with no provision whatsoever, so they had to make it work. And they sent them out to tell people the gospel, to tell them to repent so that they can be healed. And they started seeing the stuff happening because they were out on the edge. They were making themselves different. Isn't this exciting stuff? Oh, yeah, I'm hitting all the stuff nobody likes for sure today. Listen, but if you will actually make yourself go out, step out in faith, step out afraid, step out with nowhere to fall to, really step out there. What happens is when we do that, the right word is not anxiety, but it's something like that. There will be something that will rise up inside of you. It might even be fear, where your stomach's doing flip-flops like mine did, or your legs start shaking like mine did. But you just go, get ready to put your hand on it. Is that the anointing? No, I'm terrified. And you lay hands on them anyway, and you pray for them, overruling the fear and what you've got going on in you, practicing authority. Delegated authority. And as you practice it and practice it and practice it, knowing that you have it in the name of Jesus, so now you need to make those devils get out of the way. You need to make that sickness leave. And a lot of us don't really come to the place to where we do that because our carnal mind gets in the way. My carnal mind gets in the way sometimes. So you know what you do when your carnal mind gets in the way? Tell it to shut up. You do, because you don't think somebody healed. You lay hands on them. You don't think a devil out. You tell it to get out. And I think that you might be really surprised that as we start exercising these things more and more and start actually doing them, even afraid, what happens is because if the Spirit of God is actually in you, it is, right? If the Spirit of God is actually in you and you're actually going in faith and confidence, guess what? You'll start seeing results. You will. And the more results you'll see, these guys, when they came back, they were so excited. And when he did the 70, he encouraged the 70 because he sent the 70 out also, didn't he? Gave them authority. And when they came back, they were so excited. And Jesus says, don't be so excited that devils are subject to you, but that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That your name is written in heaven. That's what's so exciting. Because if you are a person of heaven, then this authority is yours in the name of Jesus. Wow, this is exciting stuff. You guys are so respectful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I would encourage you to get something. If you've been believing for healing for somebody, to get something that's not overwhelming, that's not like over your head huge, and ask the Holy Spirit, what can I pray for? What can I believe for? And go to believing for it. Go to speaking to the problem and telling the problem to go. Until you get the results. And then rejoice when you get it. And come back and give a testimony. Why did this? And this is the result that I got. How many of you have prayed for somebody in the past and they got healed? So it works. It works. It works. So some things don't go as easy as other things. Even Jesus, remember when the young man had epilepsy and the demon was throwing him into the fire and trying to drown him and all? Jesus says, this kind only goes out by prayer and fasting, this unbelief. So that's by getting closer to God and getting our relationship built even stronger with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Did you get something out of today? Me too. Me too. Jesus is good. All power and all authority has been given to him, and in his name, we can go forward and really see some stuff happen. But we got to put it to the test. We're not testing God. We're not testing the sickness of the devils. You know who we're testing? Our own selves. That we're fully persuaded in our own heart and minds that this authority has been given to me in the name of Jesus. I have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ bestowed upon me. Therefore, devil out. Sickness out. Amen? Amen. I love you guys. Father, I just thank you for this time we've had today. I thank you for your word, Lord Jesus. I thank you that the Bible is true, Lord. That you never leave us and you never forsake us, Lord. Father, I thank you that you have given us power and authority on the earth, Lord Jesus. And that we can walk in that authority. Father, I ask that everybody that can hear my voice, Lord Jesus, that they would exercise the authority that has been given to them by you. That each one of us would step out in faith, believing you. And Father, if we have unbelief in the way, if we doubt it's going to work, Father, if we doubt that whatever we say is going to come to pass, Father, I ask that you help us to override that doubt and unbelief and get into faith over that, Lord. That we deny ourselves the right to be skeptics, Lord. And that we, by faith, just keep going forward and keep going forward and keep going forward, Lord. Father, until we get results, until the realm of darkness, until the demonic foes, until the spirit of this age, until our own flesh starts believing us that we know the authority that's been given to us, Lord. We know by what name we have been called, Lord. And Father, as that revelation gets bigger and bigger and bigger on the inside of us, Lord, we know we will see more and more and more. So, Father, as you lead us into your kingdom manifesting on this earth, I just thank you, Father, for the confidence that we can have that whatsoever thing we say, believing in our hearts it will happen, will come to pass, Lord. And that when we know that you hear us, we absolutely have whatever it is that is our petition or our prayer, Father. So we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if anybody has a prayer need, you're welcome to come up now, and I'd be more than happy to pray for you. And also, I would like to know if any of you have got something that you are going to set as your little experiment. Did anything come to mind that you could do to stand against, to see it manifest on the earth? Come tell me. I'd like to hear what it is. Amen. I love you guys. You're dismissed.